Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 1:30 Pacific Summer Time. Well, today is August 19th, and well, what we see in stock markets is that there's a continued rally back up towards the highs that were posted in July, that the S&P is now within 23 points of its of that big psychological 2000 level. The Nasdaq moved through to a new high yesterday and improved on that performance today. Well, it's being led higher by the biotech sector. That it is the biotechs that did certainly the best since the beginning of the year. That they had really a very sharp pullback in April, but that they have also recouped the majority of that decline. Well, that's pretty interesting when you look at exactly what's going on. Well, if we go and look at what's been happening today in terms of other stock markets, it's generally positive action. That in Europe, you have the majority of indices in positive territory, the DAX a bit less than 1%, a number of the southern European indices not quite as good as that, the Italian index in barely positive territory, and the Spanish index up about 0.33%, whereas the FTSE was up about 0.5%. Well, what we continue to see is that the pretty sharp oversold conditions that were evident at the end of, about 10 days ago, are in the process of being unwound. But that, we're still in a very uncertain geopolitical environment, that there are talks going on in Berlin at present, but that you're not going to have any real results there until you have Poroshenko and Putin sitting down at the same table. Well, what people are pricing in is that the Ukrainians are making gains against the rebels, and that if the rebels are to, if they're going to make any inroads, that they're going to need some additional support from Russia. And, so far there hasn't been much sign of that. So are the Russians going to let them languish there? Well, at the moment, people are, they're assuming that that's exactly what's going to happen. Well, when you look at Europe, then the Bund yield is at a remarkably low level, that you're paying 150 for a Bund future. Well, that's 50% above par, so that, yields are, that alone will tell you that yields are pretty low and that this market is pretty expensive. But that what you're seeing is that there's pressure in commodity prices. That oil today, WTI was lower by an additional $1.87. Well, that's taking WTI down to $94.50, give or take. And that Brent crude is down around the $101.65. Well, Brent crude is obviously much more influenced by what exactly Saudi Arabia does, and they have stated on a number of occasions since about 2011 that they regard $100 as a floor, so that you're having additional downward pressure in oil prices in North America, but that the Brent price is going to hover here around this psychological $100 level. Well, if we start to see it moving substantially below that area, that's going to obviously be that's going to help certainly the outlook for competitiveness, particularly in some of the more energy intensive areas, but that also it's going to scare a number of the central bankers in that you're going to have deflationary pressures. Well, you certainly have deflationary pressures in Europe, that the domestic economic environment isn't particularly rosy, that they're highly dependent on the export market. The exporters have been doing very well, and they continue to do very well. Well, obviously, some of those that have been exposed to Russia have had these very, very sharp pullbacks, but the majority of them have now at least found support. Well, that's at least, a number of those companies are German companies. So you had Adidas and Rheinmetall all pulling back very, very sharply, and now they do look like they've found at least short-term support. Well, when you start to think about what's the impact of lower oil prices, well, the economic statistics, that's going to shade towards deflation anything that includes energy prices. But generally speaking, if you start to get lower energy prices, that helps competitiveness, that helps the consumer. They're not going to have to put as much or pay as much for heating their homes or for fueling their cars. So really, that's really very much a positive, and it's a positive all around. Well, there are some statistics that reckon that every $10 move in oil prices represents a pretty significant chunk of GDP. Well, oil prices are down about $20 over the last couple of months on Brent, and perhaps even a little bit more than that on WTI. Well, that's obviously going to be of benefit to consumer sentiment, at least when they start to report. But it's also worth pointing out that we have short-term oversold conditions evident on a considerable number of these commodities. Well, corn, which had pulled back from about, well, a little bit more than $5 to $3.50, posted an upside Q reversal last week. And, well, it hasn't followed through in a meaningful way this week, but it's certainly not giving up the advance either. Well, if we start to see a bit more impressive upside follow through later this week or early next week, well, that would help to suggest that at least a reversionary rally up towards the moving average is underway. Well, you look at the oil price, and again, it's pulled back very, very sharply. We're back in an area of potential support, so you'd have to be thinking that, well, the likelihood of a bounce is improving in here. Well, when you look at silver, it's down by an additional $0.20 in here today. Well, we know that it's bounced from the region of about $18.85 to $19 on a number of occasions over the last 18 months, and we're coming back to that level. Well, there's got to be somebody thinking, well, it's probably worth putting a bid in the market around those levels because it might bounce from that area. Well, what it suggests is that there's definitely people that are short of these commodities, but that if you are going to have a short position, that you'd have a stop, and that you don't have to have a great deal of imagination to think about where those stops might be. And it's certainly in some of those agricultural commodities, it would be where there might be a limit move. Well, lumber prices have broken a 9-month progression of lower rally highs. Well, at least part of the reason for that is because housing starts are coming through firm, and it's the housing indices and confidence indices are pretty positive in North America. Well, that's the primary market for lumber. So, well, that's also suggesting that the consumer is reasonably positive, but that you don't have wage pressure. Well, some of these central banks are worried that wage pressures haven't really come through. And, I think people will be just waiting for that. There remains this very large argument as to whether the Fed is going to raise interest rates anytime within the next year. Well, I don't think anybody thinks it's going to happen before the end of the summer. Very, very few people think it's going to happen before the end of December. Whether we get around to this time next year without an interest rate hike is totally open to debate, and it will be very much affected by events. What we would expect is that by the time we get around to this time next year, that the integrity of the U.S. recovery will be that bit more solid. Well, when we look at the currency markets, then the dollar is pretty firm in here. That it's firm against the dollar. Oh, sorry, it's firm against the euro. It's firm against the yen, and today it was firm against the pound. Well, when you then look at some of the cross rates and you look at the pound versus the euro, well, the pound had been particularly firm against the euro, and at least some of that overbought condition relative to the euro appears to be unwinding, regardless of the fact that the euro remains a weak currency and that remains the UK's largest trading partner, so that the UK was still likely to be the country that's going to raise interest rates first, but that they just do not want a substantially strong currency. Well, when we look at the Asian markets, then it was also a pretty positive day. That the Chinese market was reasonably steady. The Nikkei continues to rebound from a short-term oversold condition, that the second section, which we regard as a lead indicator for Japan, is pushing on to new closing highs. The ASX in Australia is pretty firm. It was up 2/3% in here today, and the banking sector is continuing to rebound. Well, when you look at the some of the news flow on that, Australia may be beginning to, maybe ready to sign an agreement with in India that it will export uranium. Well, uranium is probably one of the most bombed out sectors there is, and for good reason. But you couldn't possibly price in any additional bad news, because most of those companies would already be bust. And, this is the first piece of positive news, and what you're seeing is that the uranium price has been rallying for the last five or six sessions, and it is now testing the progression of lower rally highs in the region of the 200-day moving average. So, this is the do-or-die moment for uranium prices. Well, you look at Paladin Energy, and it has a pretty similar pattern to the uranium price, so you're getting, at least performing in line. But that, generally speaking, the majority of these uranium companies, they're much reduced from where they were, that there's a considerable number of them now trading on market caps of less than $1 billion. But, of course, they're down about 90% from where they were previously. So that's probably understandable. If you start to see uranium prices actually holding their recent gains and improving upon them, then that could be quite positive for the uranium sector generally. I think with that I will leave you for the day and wish all the best to all of you.